Thank you for listening to this message preached at Life Changes Church in Cape Town, South Africa. Our prayer is that as you listen to this inspiring message, your life will be transformed to love Jesus more passionately and equipped to do His will more fervently.
Good morning, everybody. Isn't it wonderful to be alive? It is so cool to be alive. Tell the person next to you, it's good to be alive, but if you had garlic last night, don't. Because they might not enjoy it. Hey, with a bit of sun and spring in the air, it just adds momentum to one's life. So cool. I was so encouraged just generally yesterday afternoon. Carl, you did a great job of training about 20 baristas. How's that for an army of coffee men? Hey, I think that's brilliant. Brilliant. And I want to say, you can all practice on me. You, those guys that are trying to make all these funny hearts, etc. We don't make hearts in our coffee. We make doves, the Holy Spirit. Don't make palm trees. We make little crosses. I'm teasing. Chill out. Need another cappuccino. I've had three this morning, so I'm ready. Somebody bring me a packet of chili, so I'm doubly on fire. Last night, 12 o'clock, I had an interesting experience. Always got to sleep with a big glass of water on my bedside. Just for the middle of the night, I get thirsty. I don't know if it was I sleep with my mouth open, but anyhow. As I leaned for it and I had a sip and I didn't put it properly back, and the next minute it just tipped all over me. Midnight. And I lay there laughing to myself, just thinking, thank you, Lord, I'd switched off my electric blanket. It was so funny. And I thought, Lord, at least it's cold and it's here. It's not warm and it's down here. I'm lying in bed midnight just laughing to myself. Excuse me, Lord, it's so cool to be alive. It's so good. So good. Amen to that. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 17 to 19. And I'm concluding this series this morning on overcoming. Overcoming the challenges, the difficulties in life, which are here till the Lord returns. Life has all the challenges and difficulties, but God uses them all to shape us and to make us into men and women of God that are going to count for Him. Amen to that. God does not make losers. He wants to make overcomers that have influence for Him. That's the brand of our heart as a church, being a people of influence. Influence. And God wants us to grow in the knowledge of how He wants us and has designed us to overcome in life. And when we do have setbacks, we fall forward, we don't fall backwards. We fall forwards and we call them education. We grow in life. And this morning's title is Overcoming Trials and Tribulations Through Obedience to God. Now when I speak about obedience, I'm speaking obedience to the Word of God, the written Word of God, and I'm speaking of obedience to the whispers of the Spirit of God. Both are important. The Word of God and the whispers of heaven, the Holy Spirit prompting and speaking to our hearts. Both are important. If we just have the whispers, we can go wonky. If we just have the Word, we will dry up. We need both of them together. Because it's the Spirit that gives life to the words. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Both are important. Now I'd like to read from verse 17 to 19. I'd love to read the whole of Romans chapter 5. Last night when I went to bed, Shirley was listening to worship and praise. I had my little iPhone things on and I had John chapter 14, Matthew 7, Romans chapter 5, and Acts chapter 4, 5, and 6. Those are the ones I'm just reading. So I had them on my little MP3, falling asleep with them. Shirley wakes me up, says, I hear voices. I said, it's these guys talking to my inner man. But I loved Romans chapter 5. I'd love to read it all, but let's just read from verse 17 onwards. It says, for by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. Who was that person? Adam. He said, who was that person? Adam. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ? Whoa. Just with that one verse, you could live the rest of your life overcoming in life. Whew. Verse 18. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all men. Verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Oh, that is so profoundly powerful of reference to Adam and to Christ. How through Adam's disobedience, we fell, but through Christ's obedience, we've been raised together with Him. Now, if I could just say to you initially, the storms of life are here. And it's not for us to batten down the hatches, but through the storms of life, we can walk strong with our heads up. Can I say to you this morning, storms of life, most of them I'd like to declare are predictable. Some of you are a bit shocked and surprised. How many of you look at the weather forecast and they can predict when cold fronts come in? They can predict in 3 days' time it's going to be great weather. This is a high pressure zone or a low pressure zone. Can I say to you that you can predict your weather in a sense, if I could tell you, a storm will come to your marriage of husbands if you're not loving your wives as Jesus says you must. If you don't consistently do that, there's a storm coming towards your marriage. You can avoid that storm by spending quality time connecting with her and building while the sun shines, so when the storms come, you'll stand strong. Isn't it correct? You can avoid a financial storm if you're not reckless in your spending and you live by your budget and you honor God with your tithes. So when the financial storm comes, you will stand strong. See, but now if you just spend more than you have and just go crazy and ballistic with your credit card, how many of you know, I predict a storm. And often we think, oh, where did this come from? That was coming all the time because you weren't following the Word of God and the principles in the Bible. People with the kids go crazy. Oh, what's just happened? There's a storm related with my kids. No, no, no. You weren't training them in ways of righteousness. You weren't implementing the rod of correction with love. The Bible says rebellion is found in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. And often this whole teaching, worldly teaching, don't spank the child. I don't believe in beating your child. I believe in righteous discipline that imparts wisdom that will help them to walk in the ways of God. So I want to say to you this morning, we can avoid a lot of the storms of life by applying the Bible principles. Some people that are struggling with addictions and drink problems and this and that, can I say, watch the company you keep, because you become like those you hang with. I'm just giving you some life principles and keys. You need to be fully aware of that so you can avoid them. Now, they do come unexpectedly. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, let's get in the boat and let's go across the other side. And while they were, it says, without warning, you can read it in Matthew 8, without warning, a storm came. Can I say, if you live by the principles of God's Word, when the unexpected come, then you can stand on the bow of the ship, your ship, and speak to that storm and it can be silent. Or the other thing that happens is God will give you grace to weather that storm. Remember in Acts chapter 28 when Paul was sailing in a huge big storm. It says for 2 weeks they never saw sun or moon. There was a huge storm. They battened down the hatches. God gives you grace to batten down the hatches and hang on to truths and principles. Or He divinely shelters you in the eye of the storm. So there's three different ways. You'll speak, protect, or you batten down. But whatever it is, the unexpected, he'll carry you through. He will carry you through. But there's principles that God wants us to embrace now and build now while the sun shines. You know the story of the wise and the foolish builder, Matthew chapter 7. Storms came to both. Storms come to the righteous and the unrighteous. But the difference is one built on the rock, the principles of God's word, and the other one built on the sand, the opinions of people, the ideologies of people. And when we build on that, we're in for a huge surprise. But we're not a people like that. We build on the principles of God's word. Amen to that. Every single day as disciples, we are spending time in this precious word, and we're building for the long haul. We're building for life. The whole amazing thing is Adam. Adam. I was reflecting on Adam. And I thought to myself, one day when we get to heaven, I don't know about you, but I would like to have some words with him. On earth, when Adam sinned, God said to Adam, "Adam, where are you?" When I get to heaven, I'm going to say, "Adam, what the heck did you do? Why did you eat? And all the other trees were there, but you chose to eat that one that caused the mess on this planet today." The chaos in the world today can be all traced to Adam. You get the CSI to investigate Adam. It'll all go back to his disobedience in the garden. All goes back to him. All the mess in the world, the pain, the heartache, the devastation, relationally, economically, in the natural, it can all be traced back to the fall. So great was that disobedience, it impacted even the earth. It brought forth thistles and thorns. I often was reflecting of what it must have been like when Adam partook of that forbidden fruit. We all know that the fear came in and etc., etc. But I was thinking of the cross and Calvary. And remember when Jesus died, there were some significant things happened. What had happened? The Bible says the earth shook. I believe when Adam partook of the fruit, there was a tremor in the earth. There was a darkness. And remember, the curtain was rent from top to bottom. I think Adam heard this tearing and thought, "What is that?" It was the glory that was being ripped off from him by Satan through the disobedience. Give me license here. And that's why Adam went and got a fig leaf to try to cover his shame and his nakedness. To me, what happened in Genesis and what happened in Calvary, there's some great truths in that that I'm trusting God will want to help us to understand. But now Christ, through his obedience, restored back what the first Adam messed up. That's the beauty of redemption and salvation. Where Adam blew it, Jesus Christ, referred to as the last Adam, fulfilled everything through his obedience. Now we've got Philippians chapter 2 verse 8, a profound verse concerning Jesus. It speaks about his humanity and how he humbled himself, and it says he became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Jesus' life was characterized by wholehearted obedience to the voice of the Father, the Word of God, and the leadings and the whispers of the Spirit of God.